more than I let the cat out of the bag with the children's sermon, but it was more than 3,000 years ago that Joshua led Israel to these great victories I was referring to when I was talking to the kids. And those victories led to a time of stability and prosperity, and one could even say vitality in Israel. Under his leadership, the nation was happy and healthy, and certainly at that time, in that place, was following God's plan for its life. Except, we also have the story which we're going to read in Scripture in just a moment. And let me say about the story we're going to read, it's a mistake that Joshua and his leaders made. We don't know a lot of information about exactly how that worked, but we're going to talk about the tragic results right now as we read this story from Judges chapter 2, beginning with verse 10. After a while, the people of Joshua's generation died, and the next generation did not know the Lord or any of the things he had done in Israel. The Lord had brought their ancestors out of Egypt, and they had worshiped him. But now the Israelites stopped worshiping the Lord and worshiped the idols of Baal and Astarte, as well as the idols of other gods from nearby nations. The Lord was angry. The word of God for the people of God. Hey, Roger, would you go back a couple of slides to the scripture? One more. And while the people of Joshua's generation died, and the next generation did not know the Lord. Now you know why the sermon today is titled, Don't Be Like Joshua. Okay? Don't be like Joshua. The mistake that he made was passing along his faith, the stories of his life, the way that he had seen God in his life, to the next generation. You know, we can't control what's going to happen with the next generation. But we can do everything within our power to pave the way for them to a future with God if we are willing to tell the stories of our faith, not just to the children that we're talking about here when we say the next generation, but to all the people who aren't even here, people that we see at the grocery store or when we're shopping or at other times during our week. I am sure that you don't want to be like Joshua. I'm certain. When King David realized, as he was leading the nation of Israel, that this beautiful temple that they were building was not going to be ready in time before he would die, what did he do? He set up the next generation to succeed. He made a lot of plans. He purchased. He obtained a lot of materials. Okay. He got all the things ready so that his son Solomon would succeed. He set up the next generation for success. Every one of you who's had children or has children have been concerned at one moment or another about the future of your kids. I mean, you want to set them up for success. You want them to have the same kind of life that you have had, or maybe even better. So you've been concerned about their financial future and their education and the direction that their lives is going. I am suggesting to you that just as important as that is their spiritual life. What can you do to nurture them towards a life with God? Because you certainly don't want to be like Joshua. What do you think our responsibility is when it comes to paving the way for the next generation? What do you think your responsibility is? Let me ask another question as we seek to answer that one that's even more important. What are you doing to mentor someone in the next generation? What are you doing? Have any of you thought about how you could share your stories as a teacher in some way? Last Sunday, Michelle asked, you know, are there people who would help us with Bible school? Harold Manahan is working with our small group Sunday school classes here at church. You know, Harold, there's a lot of people here today that could help the next generation by teaching. Because, what am I getting ready to say? Who can guess? You don't want to be like Joshua. That's right. You don't want to be like Joshua. You know, people could tell stories or be a greeter in Children Worship and Wonder. Meredith Bacher coordinates that. Because, oh, come on, because, no, no, all of those are true. Are we doing everything we can to make our worship and our small group here at Slash communicate with new people that come in? Are we feeding young families with the things that we are doing? What more could we be doing here at Slash? I mean, we don't want to be like Joshua. Pretty much every church leader I go to, when I go to a minister's meeting or when I go to a training seminar, every church leader that I talk to is deeply concerned with reaching the community where they are. How do I reach out into the community? And the church, let me see that next slide. The church is one of the only missions on the planet that exists for the sake of its non-members. But too often, we forget that. We forget that that's why we exist. We don't just exist to feed the people who are coming here, who are here. We exist for these people that are out in the world because we don't want to be like Joshua. We want to share what God is doing in our life with the grocer, the department store clerk, the people that we work with Monday to Friday, the friends that we play cards with. I mean, everyone. And when I go to these conferences and talk to these ministers, I often find that they have forgotten that key element of why we exist. Instead, they are turned in on themselves. They are more concerned, next slide, Roger. They are more concerned with coming together and growing in your faith than they are with reaching out or reaching up to God. We talked about this slide a couple of weeks ago. This is from our vision statement for Slash. We are a church who is reaching up, reaching out, and coming together. You know what the secret is that we all forget? As soon as each and every one of us give up on being concerned about ourselves and we start being more concerned about our relationship with God and our relationship with others, when we become more concerned with reaching out than we are with ourselves, that's when God is going to step into your life and you are going to grow spiritually in ways that you can't even imagine. And we all ignore it. We all forget that that is the step in faith that changes everything. When we do reach out and reach other people sharing our stories of faith, we will be reaching up to God. We will be coming together. We will be growing spiritually. That's why the most important part of our vision is the reaching out part. The truth is, there's a gravitational pull inside almost every church to sacrifice the church's mission to reach out and instead focus on catering to our church members. The next generation after Joshua did not know the Lord. We can't let that happen at Slash Church. And we are working hard to make sure that that does not happen. What we need is a mentoring culture here, where we are mentoring guests, visitors, people that we meet during the week. We are not living this life when we're at work, and this life when we're playing with our friends, and this life over here when we are at church. But we're living one life that encompasses all of those aspects. And we are sharing our faith in all of those different places in our lives. We need a group of people that is a you first group of people as mentors in our church, that is worried about the next generation of believers, adults and kids and youth. And we are reaching out, reaching up, and coming together. Amen? Amen. We come to our time of invitation.